Good morning. Sorry I didn't get around to everybody to wish you peace, but it got quiet, so I figured that was my cue to get up here. So, what do you do? Diane and I are glad to be here, and we're looking forward to getting to know you. Be here on Sundays, with a couple exceptions. There were some commitments that Diane and I have on the 22nd of October and the 5th of November, so we can't be here that time. But the rest of the time, we're going to be here. And like I said, eager to get to know you. We do come from Western Pennsylvania, so I do need to alert you that if winter or fall ever comes here, at least temperature-wise, I may wear a robe. The robe is black, and some of the trim is gold. I can't help being black and gold. I do need the Bible that was down here. Our first scripture lesson is from Psalm 19. Together, let us listen for God's word. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech, and night after night, they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens, he has pitched a tent for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming forth from his pavilion, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit across to the other. Nothing is hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey, the honey from the comb. By them is your servant warned. In keeping them there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servants also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, innocent of great transgression. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. And then from Philippians, the third chapter. If anyone else, Paul says, thinks he has reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee, as for zeal persecuting the church, as for legalistic righteousness, faultless. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of the resurrection, the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind me and straining forward toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which Christ has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us all pray. Dear God, we pray that something unexpected happens in our worship service this morning. Something that's not printed in our bulletins, not imagined by us or expected by us as we came here today. As your Holy Spirit moves in our hearts, for we commend them and ask that in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Life is full of failures. And how do we handle them? Back in the 70s, there was an up-and-coming concert pianist, an American, that was playing in a hotel in Bangkok. And he sat down to play, and he discovered that the D key in the treble clef was sticking because of the excessive humidity there. And unfortunately, he decided to pick a piece of music to play that was a D major and another piece that was a D minor. And so the reviewer that wrote about it in the paper later said that there were some other things that happened as the concert went on. One of which was that somebody energetically and enthusiastically greased the piano stool. And so at one particular vigorous part in the concert, the pianist suddenly just found himself sitting facing the audience. He was really frustrated with the sticking D key, and so he decided that he'd change to another composer, and he'd pick one that involved the key G, only to discover that it was sticking too. And so in order to try to unstick those keys, he decided he'd start kicking the leg of the piano. At which point that poor leg gave way and the whole thing lurched about 35 degrees. In frustration, I guess, he got up, bowed to the audience, and walked off the stage, and they applauded. Soon he came back on stage carrying a fire axe. And proceeded to take out all his frustrations on that poor piano. And at the loud crashing noise that got the attention of the hotel manager, a couple security guards, a passing policeman, and some ushers, and they managed to get him off the stage. Life is full of failures. And how do we handle them? What do we do in those situations where we just want to get a fire axe and go into that piano? What do we do? Well, Paul, in his letter to the Philippians, he reversed things. He looked at the balance sheet and decided and said that the things that he had counted as gain are now loss, and the things he thought were loss are now gain. He looked back at the important things of his life, his nationality. He was an Israelite. But more importantly to Paul, he was from the tribe of Benjamin. He was a Pharisee, a well-respected leader of Israel and a teacher of the law. Upholder of truth, he persecuted the Christian church. We have things that are important to us. It could be education, job, marriage, family, a boat, RV, whatever it is that we've accumulated that are important to us. And all these things are worth nothing when it's compared to knowing Jesus Christ. But dealing with loss is hard for all of us. It's not easy, even though we deal with it frequently in our lives. Randy Posh, the professor at Carnegie Mellon University who died of pancreatic cancer, gave a last lecture, and it's in book form. If you haven't read it, I'd encourage you to do that. He said that the pathways of life have barriers. And those barriers are not to keep you from going any further. They're to test your resolve, to see how much you want to get beyond that barrier, how much you want to get over it or around it or under it. Those barriers in life are only to keep the insincere out. Well, Marissa Hargitay is quoted in a magazine article saying that instead of saying, I can't do something, what would it be like if you said, what can I do? What could I do? What would be possible if I could? One of the things that keeps us stuck in failures and that kind of thing is, if we have a loss or a failure, what are other people going to think about us? What are they going to say? You know, the reality is that if we really understood how little they do that, we wouldn't be so caught up in dwelling on our losses and failures. But it's our life. We really don't need their opinion. Plus, the fact is that those people who are really our friends, they're not going to say hurtful things and so on when we're down, but they're going to be the first ones there when we're back on top to congratulate us and to encourage us. But we shouldn't be ashamed of failure or loss. Henry Ford, who's acknowledged as kind of the father of, you know, industry in terms of his assembly line, wasn't an instant success. He started a number of businesses that failed before he founded Ford Motor Company. Macy tried 7 different stores before he finally hit on Macy's in New York City. Honda. He was turned down for an engineering position at Toyota Motor Company, and he went and started making scooters on his own, but finally his neighbors encouraged him to open and start his own company. What about Sony? We think of them as a great entertainment company today, but wasn't always so. His first invention was a rice cooker. And it wasn't very good. It burned rice more than it cooked it. Or Bill Gates dropped out of Harvard and joined with his friend Paul Allen to create Trafodata. Probably not one on your list of remembered companies. But his next one was Microsoft. What about Harlan David Sanders? You know him better as Colonel Sanders. Did you know that his recipe that is so secret was turned down by over 1,000 restaurants before he found one that would take it? What did Paul do when he faced loss? How did he come to grips with the idea that all that he had accumulated didn't count for anything? He was a teacher. He was respected in the community. He was a leader of his faith. Everything that really meant something to him, he had done and was doing. Now it fell crumpled and decayed at his feet. How did he cope? You know, he could have felt that his failure ruined his whole life and that everything was over and done with. But instead, what he did was he realized that all those things that he counted for loss now that he thought was a failure was things that prepared him to know how much he had gained in Jesus Christ. Perfection closes doors. You know, whenever you think you've perfectly done something or perfectly created something, you're probably in line to have some kind of a failure coming up. Or if you feel you're perfect, nobody can teach you anything because you know it all. It closes the door. And so does labeling yourself a failure. If you label yourself a failure, it just means that you haven't succeeded yet in doing what it is you're called to do. If you label yourself a failure, you feel yourself a failure, you close the doors to potential success. We learn from our mistakes and discover new opportunities. Paul discovered that all the trappings of life, all those things that he thought were so important, really weren't. But they were the things that helped him understand that the new life he had in Jesus Christ was worth it. Paul reversed the idea of failure and success. What he thought was failure really opened the doors for him for grasping what Jesus Christ did for him and his forgiveness and his new life. In the words of Jim Elliot, he said, "He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." Don't let the feelings of either perfection or failure close doors to you finding all the abundant life that Jesus Christ has. Jesus Christ is the pearl that is worth turning your back on all the other pearls. He's the treasure that's worth selling everything else to grasp. He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. Let us pray. Dear God, we thank you that you have come into the world and shown us what life is like. Help us to see that the things that we've accumulated around us are worth less than knowing you. Help us not to be overcome by failure, but to overcome that failure with the love and the acceptance and the encouragement and peace of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.